welcome to Buzz Radio. Love is the universe of hidden treasures. Buzz Radio is an innovative multimedia podcast. Our focus will be on highlighting the voices of people who have something enlightening to say about love and how love is a component of every single thing we do every day of our lives. What do you know about love? Let's ask the world. I was guided to start this podcast through a creative writing experience in 2013, and I knew when I had the experience that this was something I was compelled to do out of love and appreciation for my communities and the world. In Buzz Radio's first episode, my interview guest is naturopathic doctor Michael Orion, talking about how, as a scientific man, he fell in love with helping people through a balance of Western medicine and naturopathic medicine. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you for having me, Lindsay. I've been looking forward to this.
So tell me about yourself.
Okay, so I'm a naturopathic doctor here in Carlsbad, California. I recently opened my own practice after working in multiple group practices for a period of time. I am an adoring father of three beautiful children. I'm on the faculty at National University where I teach in the Department of Health Sciences. Busy life at the moment, but all fun stuff.
So, Department of Health Sciences, what does that include?
I teach classes in ethics and law and healthcare, issues and trends in healthcare, clinical immunology, case management. It's a little dossier of courses. It's a variety, which keeps me on my toes.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. Actually, do you want to talk?
Sounds more impressive than it is.
Yeah. So. The show is really, the premise of the Buzz Radio is why we're here. Mm-hmm. And I feel very strongly and passionately that we're here for love. That's the basis for everything. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people would argue that it's money, but I have to agree and disagree.
I will agree with you.
Yes, thank you. So I wanted to ask you, thank you. Actually, before we move on, I just do want to acknowledge you again one more time. Because I've met a lot of people in my life that in the medical field, and I've been fortunate that I've been extremely healthy in my life, but I still have had my moments, you know, mm-hmm. with doctors and naturopaths and different people, and I just had such a good experience, and I have had such a strong connection with the way you do things and who you are. So I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you. That's hearing those things is what makes me do what I want to do. So thank you.
That's why you're so passionate about it, right?
That's why I can do 20 hours a day in the office.
Yeah. Oh, that's ridiculous.
It is.
Mike, don't tell people.
I won't tell people that. Whoops. Too late.
Oh, well. Okay. So tell me, what is your concept of love in our world? I mean, what do you think people think about love? Or I don't think people have the same feelings about love as we used to. I think love, the word love, has lost its power.
So I think that, like a lot of things these days, there becomes a commercialization or mm-hmm. a more shallower, two-second bit overview of what this word that has so much depth really means. And we get greeting card companies, and we get these expressions, I love you, I love you, I love you more, no, I love you more. And it becomes this more of a lust type expression than it is of actual love, and that mm-hmm. Love has multiple meanings to me, and it is, I think, the core emotion for what brings us together, and it is that that overwhelming positive emotion in the universe that we need more of, and the only way to get more love is to express more love, I think. And so love for me is one of the great connectors. It is what overpowers the emotions of fear, of guilt, of shame, the things that hold us back from doing the things we want to do, mm-hmm. The things that we love to do. So it's a much deeper word to me than, or concept, not even just a word.
Yes.
It's deeper than the word. It's how we relate to one another. Love is that emotion that drives our passion. Love is that emotion that brings us fulfillment. I think.
Joy.
Joy. These emotions that we correlate with positivity, I think, stem from that core emotion of love.
Mm-hmm. Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you on all those points, and I think that love is like the it's like the broth for the soup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like
you don't have the soup without it.
That's right. You can't make soup without broth. You know, it's just not possible. And the whole reason I'm even doing this radio show is because of love. And my, you know, perception of how our society and our communities have gotten away from the real meaning of why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, everything I do comes from a place of love. And I feel like, you know, the heart is the master.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind is the servant.
Yes, and we get ahead of ourselves sometimes, yeah, and think that the mind needs to rule everything. And we, you know, you start back in my recollection of it just from being brought up in the media age is that 50s, you know, that like almost puritanical where, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Not just in the things that you do on a day-to-day basis, you know, things that some people experience, drugs and sex and experiencing life. But it's we try to shut down what drives us,
mm-hmm,
and prevent us from experiencing things. Not, I'm not condoning going out and doing drugs and having a bunch of sex. But what I'm talking about is those are things that are, you know, examples of things that we prevent ourselves from doing because we won't letting our mind stop us getting ahead of ourselves, getting in front of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that my experience in life is that if something feels really good to me,
mm-hmm,
I know that's the right thing to do. If it doesn't feel good to me, I don't do it. And, you know, the part about that is that if you do feel good about it, then you want to really actually let yourself go do it and not talk yourself out of it, because we can analyze ourselves out of a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we have, you know, if I don't feel comfortable with it or it doesn't feel good to me, I can easily talk myself into doing that. And then it's like a racehorse, you know, taking off at the gate and then getting right to the winner's, whatever that
the finish
is.
Line or
finish
the
line.
Yeah.
And going to win the race and then stop and go, oh, I think that was a mistake. And then run back to the gate again.
And then
we do that a lot, right?
Yeah, we do.
So, yeah. So that's, you know, that's kind of why this show is, that's why I'm doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to know what brought you to having a life that is so filled with passion. I mean, you know, the love for what you do.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's very, very obvious that you're in love with what you do.
A series of experiences and wonderful people, mentors, many different steps brought me to where I am today. And I've been blessed and very lucky to get to a place where I can be so passionate about something and love what I go to do every day at a relatively young age. And so,
mm-hmm,
for me, I knew that I wanted to practice medicine from a pretty young age, you know, elementary, middle school time.
Yeah, that's pretty young.
Pretty young. I, you know, do those personality tests, and I was supposed to be a stockbroker or a kindergarten teacher or an astronaut, right? And the doctor was nowhere in there, but I knew that I wanted to be in medicine. And then I had a car accident when I was 17, fell asleep and hit a telephone pole, and that ended my baseball career. And from there, my experience in the hospital solidified my desire to want to go into medicine, or not just for the, you know, the wonderful things that happened, you know, to put me back together and save me from the trauma, but also the things that were lacking in the process.
Right.
Wanted me to do what was done for me in a better way. And
so you were inspired.
I was inspired. At that time, I was planning still on doing MD, PhD program and, you know, going conventional and science and medicine. And that's still a very big passion of mine, the conventional scientific medical world.
Yeah.
However, I was teaching a course in undergrad with a colleague of mine, and she mentioned naturopathic medicine. And naturopathic medicine, to me, I was an ignorant 20-year-old, and she, most 20-year-olds are, right? And she said, well, what about naturopathic medicine? Because I was complaining about insurance and things that people complain about in the conventional medical world, control and wanting to have my freedom.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, what about naturopathic medicine? And my initial response was, you want me to be a witch doctor? Voodoo
that
medicine?
Is funny.
Very, very ignorant. And so she said,
that's
no,
funny,
no,
Michael.
No. It's just, that was, I told her that. And she said, no, it's not that. It's the philosophies that you're talking about. Treating your patients, the way that you talk about how you want to practice medicine, the tenets of naturopathic medicine really suit that passion. And
mm-hmm.
so I was talking about the healing power of nature. I was talking about getting out of the way, doing less for your patients, you know, allowing their bodies to heal themselves, finding the root cause, treating
self-love.
The whole patient, self-love, right?
Yeah, it's about loving yourself. And that's such a huge part of natural medicine.
It is an integral part of,
mm-hmm.
it should be an integral part of all medicine.
Yes.
Because it's not simply mechanistic. And that's
mm-hmm.
what the conventional world looks at now is this algorithm. You know, if A, then B. If your lab says this, then you got to do this. If your symptoms say this, then you have to do that.
Right.
And the problem is that type of box medicine approach will work for a lot of people, but there's still a significant percentage of the population that it's not going to work for.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the patients that end up finding their way to naturopathic medicine, or they have for the last 50 years. It's changing, though. There's a
mm-hmm.
shift in the paradigm where this is becoming the initial visit. The naturopathic medicine, the doctors that are in this field are working now as that more first point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
How can I prevent disease? How can I
yes.
be proactive?
So it's prevention, yes.
It's prevention.
Yeah.
And you know, the saying about an ounce of prevention, right? So
yes.
That's where I found naturopathic medicine, but then the passion, how did I become passionate, I believe, was the what brought me to my passion.
Yeah.
Is it partly a separate story, because I'm very passionate about naturopathic medicine, but it's more the culmination of all the experience with my patients,
mm-hmm.
that connection to my patients,
the connectivity,
the connectivity, exactly that.
Yeah.
That you see patients, you get to know your patients by spending more time with them, and you get to see how a preventive medicine approach can enhance their life in ways that they didn't even realize they were coming to you for.
Exactly.
They come and they want to
yeah.
fix their toe.
There's an emotional component to every disease, you know.
Definitely.
So it's huge, actually, you know, even as a healing person who does healing work and spiritual counseling and medical intuitive work, that has always been, I've never seen any situation that didn't have the majority of the whole reason that they were where they were was because of an emotional trauma.
Definitely.
Of some sort.
And I've seen that.
Or shut down of emotions or
yeah.
something.
Suppression of emotions.
Suppression,
a lot of, I actually lecture on this in Issues and Trends in Healthcare, a class that I teach. It's a
mm-hmm.
fun class. We talk about the components of health and how you can't have total health without each component.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the psychological component, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the physical.
Exactly.
You need to
everything.
Have mind, body, spirit.
It all works together.
Common phrase. Yeah.
yeah.
And you can't have that whole health, that whole aspect of health without each individual component.
Right. So I was going to say, too, if you wanted to say anything about some of the therapies you do, like prolotherapy, I think is kind of a new concept to a lot of people. Like if I mentioned it to people, they go, what's that? You know?
Definitely. So prolotherapy, after my children, is probably my most favorite thing in my life. It's been around since the 30s, and it's actually an injection treatment where we stimulate the body to heal itself by injecting what we call a proliferative solution, Prolo is short for proliferative, into a ligament or a tendon and into the joint space to help stimulate an immune response. And that immune response brings fibroblasts to the area. Those fibroblasts lay down collagen in the form of connective tissue, which stabilizes joints and eliminates pain. So this is a treatment used for acute and chronic pain that is resulting from laxity or hypermobility. So sprains, strains, arthritis, conditions like Oshkosh-Schlatter's disease, connective tissue disorders. We can oftentimes stabilize joints and get people out of pain, away from pain medications, hopefully postpone or eliminate the need for surgery. However, those are sometimes necessary treatments.
The reason I ask that is because I have had that experience with you.
Yeah.
And it has been fabulous.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, I had a knee problem for quite a long time, and I've only had, what, two treatments?
Yep.
Yeah, two treatments, and
had a third one.
Actually,
first one. Yeah, three now.
Three
yeah.
treatments. So I just wanted to bring that up because I think it's groundbreaking for people.
The more people that know about this therapy and the other therapies that are available, I think the better. And that's one of my passions, which is something we're going to be talking about tonight, is education and mm-hmm. helping people just understand their options and empowering people to make decisions for themselves.
Okay, before we move on, I just have to say really quick about the connectivity thing, because my experience with you was an instant connection, you know, and like, I felt like you were my family or something. You
I'm
know?
Glad you felt the same way.
Yeah. And I believe you asked me a question. I was like, because it was so like something different than anybody would have ever asked me. And I was like, well, he actually knows who I am. And I just met him. And that's quite an honor for somebody to see who you are without even really knowing them. Because I believe that within 3 seconds of meeting a person, you know a lot about them if you're focused and listening,
mm-hmm.
or you know,
if
connecting.
You're aware.
If you're aware, if you're conscious and you're connecting and you're focusing on the person that you're actually with.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge compliment, and I felt the same about you. And the thing that the reason you're my first guest is because I felt inspired by the way you are with people. And I watched you with a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, over the last couple of years, and it very inspiring. And that, I think, without that ability, you couldn't be where you are today, because you just have a way of being so present with the people that you're working with, that there's healing happening just in and of itself, because there's a love connection. You have that connection with people, that people feel loved. So...
Well, that's.
I just wanted to.
Thank you.
You're
that's
welcome.
That's an overwhelming compliment.
Yeah,
that's what I strive for every day. To, I want my patients to experience comfort,
mm-hmm.
to feel loved, to feel supported, to feel cared about, and whether or not the physical symptoms are improving from the protocol, people being heard, being acknowledged, being understood. Not that I don't understand half my patients. I try.
Yeah.
But you get their
just
sense
being
of
well-being. Just being listened to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just having somebody listen to you, you know, being present is such a healing thing, because it's not that common.
Well, I hope we can make it more common.
I think so. That's my intention.
Part of the purpose
intention.
Here, right?
Yeah,
yes.
That's the purpose here. So what's the momentum? So I want our listeners to be able to kind of take something away from here, and they go, oh, I could do this, and that would give me more momentum.
If I understand the question correctly, it's what could you do to develop more drive, more momentum in what you're doing?
Yeah.
Get more out of your day, get your plans accomplished, get mm-hmm. maybe your plans aren't accomplished, get what needs to be accomplished, which is not always what we plan for.
Yeah, because our plans usually don't work out at all.
That's right, we were just talking about that.
Set up an agenda and it doesn't work.
Right. The biggest driver, I think it's different for each person, and I think you need to find that thing that inspires you on a daily basis. And for me, that is that connectivity that we talked about, mm-hmm. that connection to
that
each other,
that whole. Mental, of course, yeah,
we talked about, we've had discussions about, you know, the connectivity, the frequencies, the vibrations, quantum mechanics, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not a quantum physicist. However, I do believe that it is one way to help explain the energetics that exists in our world.
I totally agree.
And part of the interaction with the patient, or even a thought about a patient.
A positive thought.
A positive thought, yeah. I mean, try to, you know, you get negative thoughts, you just got to eliminate them from your mind. They don't serve us mm-mm. a purpose. They only bring things down. And the point of, I think, existence here is to try to grow those around us and grow ourselves mm-hmm. into higher beings. And
yes.
part of that is, the majority of that is that energetics, that connection. That we are here to experience each other. We're here to share things in common. And that's sharing those emotions, primarily sharing that love.
Yeah.
And so for me, connecting with my patients, understanding their stories, getting to know them, not just on a biochemical and physiological level, but also on an emotional level. And I'm not a therapist, but I do.
But yeah, you still.
It comes out
very
in conversation.
Important.
And connecting on that level inspires me because
mm-hmm.
I get to know some very interesting people and mm-hmm. all my patients. I'm fascinated by all of my patients.
You know, and I also think that with that type of connection that you have with people, they feel loved and you feel loved. And so it's like the whole purpose uh-huh. of being here is to pass it on, or, you know, pay it forward.
Pay it forward. It's reciprocated.
Yeah, you just reciprocate and reciprocate. And the more you do that, it builds a larger and larger web,
yeah.
you know, of connections.
And it's something simple like we hear those stories about, you know, someone paying for the coffee for the person behind them in line. And I've done that.
Yeah.
And it feels
that's happened
so
to me.
Good. And you want to do something else. I've put people up in hotels, you know, homeless person, find them on the street and put them in a hotel for
yeah.
the night. And that kind of interaction, you know, it's not feasible for a lot of us to go out and put someone up in a hotel. And
no.
Most of the time it's not for me either, but those type of things connect us
yeah.
to other people, even if you don't get to know the person.
Yes. And you could, you know, you could do something as simple as give them food.
Yeah.
Or give them blankets. I've done that when
yeah.
I lived downtown.
Service.
I bought some blankets and took them, you know, and gave them to some people
yeah.
that I saw on an ongoing basis around where I lived.
Yeah. And service and giving is another
like
thing that drives passion.
Yes, totally. So in your business is all about that.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm glad you agree there.
It is.
Maybe a little too much.
No,
I'm
yeah.
just kidding. It can't be too much.
No.
Good
I
karma,
mean,
right?
It's good karma. But that brings me to the next question. Outside your career, you know, as a leader and, you know, a mentor for others, what could you say for the audience that would help them, you know, through your experience of learning how to be more, you know, take better care of yourself and walk your talk sort of thing? What would you suggest for others, you know, so that they could do a better job in taking care of themselves?
Okay. So
that's a deep question.
It is a very deep question. Multifaceted, I would say.
Yeah.
Maybe
just give some points, some
yeah.
highlights.
So no one's perfect. So someone said to me recently, my assistant, Patrick, I think you met Patrick.
Yeah, I have met Patrick. He's
wonderful
sweetie.
Guy, very insightful. He said that he heard something at a meeting of... you shouldn't strive for perfection, but rather strive for excellence, because perfection is someone else's idea of what is right. Excellence is your own construct of what is right. And
mm-hmm.
You should be striving for things that you want to achieve.
Right.
Set your goals high and then try to achieve that excellence. Mm-hmm. And for me, in my space right now, I am pushing very hard. There's a lot of variability in my life. There's my personal life and my professional life and my other professional life. And
you go several lives.
It's several hats, several lives. And I'm pushing very hard. So I'm not sleeping enough. I'm working many, many hours. And I've made that choice to do that. for the future of my practice, for the future of my family, for the future of my career. And I think that it has started to catch up with me, and I've had to be more aware of doing the things that I tell people to do for myself. So taking a break in my day to practice a meditation, even if it's for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can spare 5 minutes somewhere in the day. You know, I am literally at the office 20 hours most days, and I've managed to try to put in now to that day 5 minutes of quiet time. I'll close the door and I will sneak away, just go down the hall, get out of the office for a second, and give myself 5 minutes to practice, you know, meditation, whether it's, you know, repeating a mantra or it's just clearing my mind, taking some breaths, focusing on my breath work, focusing back on nutrition. I find that if I don't surround myself with people that are taking care of me, I will get so focused that I won't eat all day long. And that's not good for me.
Mm-mm.
And so these are things that I tell my patients. I'm very lucky that I don't have like a reactive hypoglycemia or hypoglycemia where I can get through a day and feel okay. But I know that that's not good for me.
Not in the long run, no.
Not in the long run. And this is not a...
In the short run.
My mode right now is not a sustainable mode. And so for me, it's a conscious decision to get everything rolling, get everything started up. The practice on my own just started in April. So this is
so
very
new.
Fresh.
Yeah.
And anybody who's, you know, started their own business knows about the grind and putting in the hours to try to get
energy
into the black and all that fun stuff that you worry
about.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to interrupt you, but I do think that that's good advice. But I would say that, you know, maybe you could even do 3 5-minute breaks.
Definitely.
Or 15 minutes.
And
or
that's that striving
go
for
a
excellence.
Walk.
That striving for excellence
yes.
would be to do more. And it's not just excellence in the work that I do, but it's in my self-care as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I started to do a workout routine. For me, it's convenient.
There you
because,
go. I thought you said that.
Yeah, downstairs.
And nutritional.
And the nutrition. I'm going to start a nutritional program. I'm going to be doing a juice fast. I used to fast occasionally from time to time, twice a year. For a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done that in a while. I've gotten out of that good habit and slid into some bad habits. So it's a time of, you know, rediscovery, recreating yourself, emerging into this new phase of life. And part of that means, you know, walking the walk, like you said. So exercise regularly, do the nutrition, do the meditation, get the sleep, retain those social connections, you know, because that's hard for me to take a break and go out and, you know, like we went and, you know, got food that night and
had a glass of wine.
And
that was really fun.
It was very good. And that was fulfilling for me to be able to have a connection with someone outside of a doctor-patient relationship or a father-child relationship.
Yeah.
And that's because that's most of my interaction these days.
And another point that I'd like to make as I'm listening to you is, and I know you're having fun doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you love your work. But, you know, I would say that another thing that's crucial to good health and, you know, high spirit and good vibration is to have fun.
Yeah.
Have a lot of fun.
And balance.
And balance. Have it all be balanced. So that's
I
great.
Do love what I do, but I there are things that I want to do more of. And I need to make the decision to put those into my schedule.
Yes.
So I know that this next winter, I'm going to make it a point to go snowboarding.
Yay.
I haven't been in a long time. And I have a snowboard from a dear
friend of
mine.
So where can you go snowboarding at this time of the year?
You can't at this time of year. Nowhere that I can get
on
my budget.
You can go to Alaska.
I'm not on my budget. But we can, when the winter comes around, I've made it a point to go. And I have some friends that I can go with. So it's going to be a good time.
So what are your dreams and goals at this point as far as something you desire to do that you haven't done yet?
I'd like to finish some of my writing. I'm in the process of writing 3 books at the moment.
There you go.
I have put those to the side. One of them is a very long-term project, history and evolution of medical practice in the world. It's an overwhelming undertaking. And
wow.
It's right now sitting at about 2,300 pages. So it's going to be a multi-volume piece, but I don't know if I'll ever feel confident in it enough to publish it, but that's me getting in my own way, right?
Yeah, yeah. Get someone to edit for you.
Yeah, I need to. I want to finish something like that. I've been working on a book on vitamin D. I've co-published a few papers, and I'd like to do more contribution to literary work. I'd like to do more writing, mm-hmm. More publication, something that'll be a lasting legacy. Because I can interact with people, and that's very profound, and that's very beneficial, in my opinion. But to write something, to be able to teach future generations, is something that creates a legacy, and that's mm-hmm. something I'm inspired to do, and I'm ready to do that now in my life. So it's exciting. It's my future, but it's a very near future.
That's and it's almost like when you write a book. That is on the cutting edge of the current consciousness, then as that, you know, once the book is written, then it becomes a book like the beginning of something.
Right.
You know, so that's very exciting. I
would be so lucky
as
to pioneer a new thought. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be. I could see you doing that. I think that, you know, one of the things that, helps people feel connected to other people and feel loved is through our dreaming process, you know. And a lot of people go, oh, you're just a dreamer. Because, for instance, for me, I'm an artist mm-hmm. and an intuitive and, you know, I have this ability, clairvoyance and all that. And people would say that to me and I would feel offended.
Right, you said it almost like it was a bad thing. Like you're just a dreamer.
Just a dreamer. And
that's
I'd be
a
like,
great
wait
asset.
A minute. Wait a minute here. Dreaming is everything. I mean, if we don't use our imagination, mm-hmm. we don't have anything because whatever we're thinking and focusing on is how we create our reality. It's very simple. I mean, even when you're hungry, what do? You start thinking about food.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, you're going to the grocery store, buying the food, coming home, making the food, doing the dishes, and you're mm-hmm. all satiated. Or you go out and have some food with friends.
Right.
But it's the same concept. So if we're not dreaming is crucial with, you know, who we are and using our imagination.
Definitely.
So what do you think?
Well, I think that dreaming is very important in how we move forward in life. That motivation that we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. The progression of just the human condition. We need to dream and be those visionaries to see the future, to see what could be, and mm-hmm. to think outside of the established box. And that's really what drove me with naturopathic medicine, even though that it was, you know, it's been old and it's been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
The concept and some of the techniques we use have been around for thousands of years. It's an old medicine, but it's a new way of looking at it in our current context, outside of the current box that exists. And dreaming is a wonderful thing. And I've been accused of being a dreamer, maybe too flighty. I know you've mentioned to me about being an Aquarian and not being an air sign and being floating away. And I've been told that I, in the rubric, the homeopathic rubric of building air castles, of always thinking of things that may not pertain to what we consider reality right now. Say, and that's constrictive to think about it in the alternative, but that's also beneficial. I think we need those of us that think ahead and think about big picture, big concept.
Mm-hmm.
I love having conversations with these people, but not a lot happens if it's only those people. Because if it's only those people where you think, you think these wonderful thoughts and it's an amazing discussion, but you need those other people who can anchor you into a plan. put it into action and make those dreams a reality. So you, mm-hmm. it comes back to balance again. You need to have both.
It takes all types of people. Mm-hmm. So that's how we attract people. That's some of the reasons we attract certain people into our lives is because one of us does the thinking or the seeing, and the other one, like you said, takes it and makes it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lovely combination of people when you can get a team of people together that are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been my kind of, you know, one of my biggest dreams is to have a collective of people that really work as, you know, in synchronicity to create bigger picture.
Definitely.
You know, in the world. And that has to be based in a place of love and being present and being connected. And
well, the end product will be more lasting if it's developed out of a place of love. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. And having people of different strengths, because we all have something to bring to the table. We mm-hmm. all have something to offer, our strengths,
yeah.
and recognizing what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are is a pretty introspective process. It's a difficult thing to acknowledge what your weaknesses are, but
I know what mine are.
Yeah, I know what mine are too. Believe me, I've thought a lot about that one. There are plenty. And so I try to surround myself with people that complement my strength set
mm-hmm.
by being strong in the things that I'm weak in. And then I still enjoy all my conversations that I resonate with people that are also forward-thinking people, people that can dream, people that can, you know, see the things that I can see. And then having those same conversations with people that see things differently.
Or they can see the same things you can see, but then expand upon it.
Or even
and
better,
vice
yeah.
versa.
I love those conversations.
Yeah.
And that's why I love talking with you.
And I love talking with you. So it's a mutual admiration.
Definitely.
Definitely. And it was my pleasure. And I thank you so much for being on the show and being my first person.
I am honored to be the inaugural guest. And thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure, too. Thank you for listening to Buzz Radio's first episode. And thanks again to my guest, Dr. Michael O'Ryan. Please visit buzzradio.buzz for more information about Michael O'Ryan's naturopathic medicine practice in Carlsbad, California. And while you're on the website, don't forget to subscribe to Buzz Radio's podcast so that you can never miss an episode. Again, the address is buzzradio.buzz. Love is the universe of hidden treasures. See you next month. Love and light.